Well, the Federal Reserve's final monetary policy decision of the year is set for this Wednesday, and Wall Street is betting that the central bank will move up its taper timeline amid red-hot inflation. But is that the right call? Here to weigh in is Tomas J. Phillipson, economist at the University of Chicago and former White House Council of Economic Advisors. And he joins us on the phone. Tomas, thanks so much for being here. Let's hone in on what you expect the Federal Reserve to do this Wednesday and what you would like to see them do, because we know those two things might be different.
Yeah, so I think as of now, Omicron is the big issue, obviously, and we didn't think it seems like the scientists are saying it is not as dangerous as we initially thought, which it seems to, the market has kind of baked in, I think, already that, you know, if that's the case, we're going to have more inflation controls by the Fed. But what I think is interesting is, you know, Fed has been accommodating to fiscal policy throughout Corona, but I think if the Build Back Better, even though it probably faces an uphill battle in the Senate, if it passes, we're going to probably see the Fed kind of counteracting fiscal policy with more sort of inflation control measures, which will be a change of direction from the past.
And Tomas, can you characterize how difficult a position is the Fed in, you know, doing this delicate dance at the moment? Because, you know, the inflation genie is out of the bottle, and to sort of put it back into the bottle is very difficult. How do they do it without creating a recession?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are two measures. There are the rate controls and the buybacks of 100, or stopping the $120 billion a month program that they have. And they're going to have to do both, it seems. But I think it's important here to keep in mind that this inflation is counteracting, obviously, the Build Back Better agenda. We've calculated, essentially, that if you have an excess of inflation above wage growth of 2% a year, the nominal terms of Build Back Better is going to be essentially inflated away. So if you look at the child care credit, et cetera, you know, per family, per capita gains in income are in nominal terms going to be inflated away by 2% excess inflation above wage growth. So I think, you know, there's a change in course here between the Fed just backing up what we did with fiscal policy, which was really excessive. If you look at fiscal policy in 2020, it was the first time in a recession we had growth, not reduction, in disposable income. Disposable income being your private income plus how much you get from the government. It was the first time we had growth in a recession of disposable income because of the overreaction in fiscal policy. Not only that, we had bigger growth in disposable income during COVID than any other past boom in the economy. So even when the economy was taken off, we never had as much growth in disposable income. That's partly, obviously, it's one out of three pillars why inflation is so high. The other one is that supply is being cut back at the same time demand is stimulated, and also the accommodating policy of the Fed, obviously.
So Tomas, besides raising interest rates next year, which it seems like the market's betting at least that's going to happen by the summer, if not sooner, what other tools does the Fed have at its disposal to fight inflation?
Well, I think it's not so much of a Fed issue as it is of a regulatory and fiscal policy issue. I think we have so many constraints on supply right now. Like I said, it's this triple threat, really, to inflation. We have supply constraints through policy, especially in the energy sector, obviously, which is very important for people, even though it's taken out of traditional inflation measures in terms of core inflation. But we have demand stimulus that were too large, and we have a Fed on top of it. So Fed is only one out of three, I think, reasons why we have price increases. Price increases could be, you know, relative price increases also across the board inflation. But I think the real issue is, how do we get the supply to respond better to if Omicron actually was not going to be as serious? How do we get out of the way of supply filling that need and therefore not seeing these potential price increases?
Tomas, what do you have to say to Republicans' point of view in that this Build Back Better plan, if it is passed, will just make inflation worse?
Yeah, like I said, we're already you know, passed bills that made disposable income go up in a recession, which is a unique historical experience in this country. And I think there's a lot of things that could be done better. I think Omicron is obviously is a big question mark out there. I think really to have the economy, to have a healthy economy, you have to have the virus controlled better. And we don't know yet whether Omicron is a real issue. People seem to discount it now. But there's a lot of things the government can do to stimulate the economy by going after COVID much more effectively than it has. For example, there's no rationale why we should wait 3 months for Pfizer's antiviral, meaning treatment of COVID, to get to market. That's a, with 1,000 people a day, that's 90,000 people dying just because the government can't get their act together and approve this antiviral. I think that's very disruptive to the economy, because if that was out there, we would have a lot fewer deaths of COVID and we wouldn't be worrying so much about Omicron in the future. The second thing is that our natural immunity policy is lagging many other countries because we're disrupting labor markets with these vaccine policies, which is unfortunate. But it's kind of an interesting, your Yahoo Finance, it's an interesting reason why natural immunity policy is so poor, because no one has an incentive to study natural immunity. Pfizer and other drug companies have huge incentives to do trials on product-based immunity, but natural immunity you can't sell, so we don't have all the finance of the studies to understand how it works, as well as we have finance for the product-based immunity out there. So I think immunity policy could be a lot better by not just requiring vaccine, but also paying attention to natural immunity and therefore opening up the economy more than it has been. But bottom line is, I think, you know, the question mark, the big question mark more than anything is Omicron going forward, and that will determine everything else.
All right. Tomas Philipson, economist at University of Chicago, former chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Thanks for joining us.